Thank you. If you have your Bible, may I ask you to open it at the Epistle to the Hebrews in chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of these verses. Shall we bow again for a moment of prayer? Blessed God, we would ask of thee now that thou wilt quieten our hearts and cause that the very hush of eternity may be felt brooding over this gathering. We think of the solemn issues that are at stake on occasions like this. Men and women on the very balance of decision that will affect their eternal destiny. We pray, O God, that the enemy may be kept at bay today, that the good seed of the word shall land in the good prepared ground and bring forth fruit for thy glory. May the Lord be exalted, sinners saved, thy people blessed. We ask it now, giving thanks in his precious name. Amen. My text for you today is verse 7 of this chapter. By faith Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I want to speak to you for a little time on what we might term God's unsinkable ship. No one who was inside the ark perished. 8 souls were saved in that ark. And all who were outside of the ark perished. So there was an in and there was an out. Those that were saved, those that were lost. There's no argument about it. But now, as we read through from verse 1 of this chapter, till we come to verse 7, we're faced first of all with the fact that God is. In fact, the writer of this epistle starts off at the very beginning in chapter 1 by focusing our attention upon this glorious fact that we have to do with the living God. Now, I know that there's a great number of people who would like to live their lives without God. They don't want God to interfere in their lives whatsoever. They say something like this: there's no God going to rule my life. Nobody going to take over the reins of my life. I'll do my own thing. I'll do it my way, and I'll do it in my time. But that, of course, is an act of foolishness, because the Bible shows us what that means. The fool has said in his heart, no God, which simply means he's saying, no God for me. For the fact is, there is a God. But the foolish person is saying, well, there's no God going to take control of my life. But we're faced with it again and again. There is a God. And when we come to chapter 11, it starts off with these words, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's a great chapter dealing with faith. It speaks of faith there in connection with the knowledge of creation. It speaks of the faith of Abel. It speaks of the faith of Enoch. It speaks of the faith of Noah. And verse 6 tells us this, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So faith is something that is absolutely necessary in one's life if we ever hope to occupy a square inch of God's heaven by faith. But whenever you think of the subject of faith, you're faced again with the fact of God. And you're faced with the fact of God's Word. For after all, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if people are going to try and push God out of their lives, and they're going to try and push God's Word out of their life, remember this: you're on the downward path. If you try to live your life without God, and you don't want to hear anything from the Word of God, then you cannot possibly have faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we are faced, first of all, with the Word of God. From Genesis chapter 1, to Revelation 22, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We need the Word of God. And when people try to argue against this and say, well, no one has ever seen God, how do we know there's a God? Look around. Even this little planet on which we live. How do you think this planet came into existence? Oh, says someone, that's easy to explain. One time there was a big bang. have told you that at school, haven't they? And even in college, they'll tell you about the Big Bang. But one thing they've never been able to tell you is what caused the Big Bang. And who caused the Big Bang? What was this Big Bang? And out of that Big Bang, there came something into space. And it went round and round and round till it cooled off. And then it was this wonderful planet in which we live. And men think they're wise because they believe that. That's not what Hebrews 11 tells us. That's not what the Word of God tells us. It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, we know this. We understand that these worlds, not only this planet, but all those stars that you see studding the firmament above us, this planet and these other planets, were framed by the Word of God. God is the mighty Creator. Some folk have never learned yet the greatness of God. Perhaps they've heard people sing about it, how great thou art. But you see, our God is so big. He created all things by the word of his power. You say, do you believe that? I said, yeah, I believe that. That's faith. And if you don't believe that, my friend, it takes a greater amount to believe the other thing than it does to believe God. You know the old argument? You see this building here. You know this building just happened here. Somebody came along one day and dumped a lot of bricks here. And the bricks started to come together. And they joined each other up and one got on the top of the other. And someone came with a lot of wood and the wood jumped up and went onto the ceiling. They said, don't try and tell us that. We know the builder built this. That's right. There was a plan, first of all. And the builder built according to the plan and gave instructions to the men what to do. One day there was the finished building. You know that. It's the same thing with planet Earth. There was a plan. And God was the great architect. God planned it. He framed it. Not only has he framed this earth, he has framed the ages through which this earth has passed. And he knows the end from the beginning. Faith believes in God. But not only has God given us his word, God gave his witness. The first family believed there was a God, and they had an altar. And one day, Cain and Abel, the two first men to be born on the scene, they came along to the altar to make a sacrifice. One came by faith, and the other came by his own opinions. The one who came by faith, so says the word here, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And as he offered this sacrifice to God, he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his sacrifice. He obtained witness. God gave witness that he was satisfied with the offering that Cain offered on that altar. God gives witness. He has witnessed right down through the ages, time and time again, God has broken in and given witness. One of the greatest witnesses that God ever gave was concerning His own blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. One day when the Lord went down to the River Jordan to that great prophet John the Baptist and asked to be baptized, John at first didn't want to do it. The Lord said, suffer it to be so that we may fulfill all righteousness. And the Lord went down into the River Jordan and was baptized by John. And when he came up out of the water, the heavens were open. The voice of God declared, giving witness, he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God's word bore witness to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. On another occasion, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter was there and Peter wanted to build three little shrines, three little tabernacles, one for the Lord, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And again, God sent the cloud and enveloped them. The voice was heard to say, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. You can't compare anyone with him. Or you may contrast them, but you can't compare them. He's none like unto him. And God bore witness to his Son. He bore witness to the sacrifice that Abel had made. He bore witness to his Son while he was here in life. And after Christ had died on the cross, and been buried in Joseph's tomb, God the Father bore witness again. He sent an angel from heaven to declare the message. He is not here. He is risen. And God declared him to be his Son, in that he raised him up out from amongst the dead. Oh, my friends, you've got to face the Word of God. And you've got to face the witness of God. But when we come to verse 7, we're faced with the warning of God. Perhaps people don't like being warned. I know people don't like being warned. I remember just before the beginning of World War II, I was given a job one day to go round the village where we lived, certain part of the district. I was to hand in leaflets to every house. They were warning leaflets. Warning leaflets. Warning the people that if war was declared, they were to be ready. They were to know where they could have shelter if there were an air raid. They were to keep their gas mask handy, ready to put on their gas mask in case it was gas bombs that were dropped. And I'll never forget a woman, all the scolding she gave me. I wouldn't like to repeat all her language either. She tore the thing up. Why do you come here frightening people? We don't want this. Tell her as you like, neither did I. I didn't want war. I didn't want bombs raining down from the sky. I didn't want fire bombs or gas bombs. I didn't want it any more than anybody else. But the authorities thought it was worthwhile to give the warning. And then when war did come, and there was an air raid, then those sirens, my, the sound of them, you could hear them for miles around. Although I must admit, one night I slept through them. The plane was right over and I never saw it. I didn't see it getting brought down and everybody was all excited the next morning. Did you see that plane getting brought down? I said, what plane? Weren't you up to see it? I said, me, what was it? I said, we had an air raid last night. I said, I knew nothing about it. slept right through it, went to work the next morning. But there you are, warning. People don't like warning. You drive along the highway. Some places have more warnings than others. I remember one place where it said, you are approaching a dangerous roadway. You travel along about a quarter of a mile, and here's another notice. You are nearing a dangerous corner. A little further on, there's a bigger one. You have been warned. If you didn't take the warning, my friend, and draw up, you wouldn't make that corner. Why did they need to put all those warnings? Shouldn't one be enough? Well, even three wasn't enough for some people. Still went on an accident. Warning. You're warned about dangerous hills. You're warned about dangerous corners. You're warned about narrow crossings and so on. Warnings. I wonder how many accidents we would have on our highways if we didn't have these warnings. You have been warned. I think it's in South Wales, I remember right. There's a place there, and there's a great big white board with a black spot right in the middle, marking a place where there had been a great accident on the roadway. And that's warning you. Whenever you saw that black spot, the warning. If we were to do that here, we wouldn't be able to get along the road for warning signs. There have been so many accidents. But God in His Word gives us warnings. By faith, Noah being warned of God. You see, children today don't like to be warned. My mother used to warn us every summer, almost every day during the school vacation. Now don't you be going into that river up there. You call it the creek here. Oh, we loved it. Especially it was a little bit warm, you know, and you got into that water, swam around. We used to say to my mother, but we're not going into the deep side, we're just going into the shallow place. She wasn't there, we got in, we went in at the shallow place, but that's not where we finished. He wanted to learn to swim, and that's how I learned to swim. But she kept warning. For there wasn't a summer, but somebody got in trouble, somebody was drowned, hurt or something. But she kept warning us, and we didn't like being warned. We thought we knew better. So did everybody else until some boy got drowned. Warnings. How many of you parents have warned your children? Why is it that in the old days when you used to have those old stoves, you know, to heat the house, you don't have them now. Some of the rising generation don't know what they are. But you had the stove. And you put a guard around it. Why? Was it necessary? Oh yes, if there was children there, you had to put the guard there, or else they would have got burned. And how often did you say, keep back from that? You get your hands burned if you touch that. You warn. And then how often you go to get medicine today, there's a warning on it. A warning. Keep it out of the reach of children. Don't leave it where children can get this. And then the Surgeon General has put warnings on other things. Warning. People don't like that. When you come to the Word of God, you've got to face the fact God has given us warnings. Away back in the days of Noah, a warning was given. Oh, God gave a warning to Adam in the garden. He warned him. He says, you're in the garden. You've got to dress it and you've got to keep it. Keep it. Keep it from what? That keep there means to guard it. Guard it from what? The enemy. He was warned there was an enemy. But unfortunately, he lent his ear At least Eve lent her ear to the enemy. Instead of listening to God, she listened to the enemy. She fell. Warned. In the days of Noah, by faith Noah being warned of God. If it was faith, remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God in some way or another communed with Noah. Noah was a man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God in grace spoke to Noah. God gave a warning to Noah. He told him that there was going to be a great flood. This was a revelation that Noah received from God. It was a warning of something was going to take place. Now remember this. If Noah had held a consultation with all the neighbors round about him, suppose Noah had gathered all the counselors together and he said, "Gentlemen, I've had a message from God. And God is going to destroy this earth. He's going to destroy it with a flood. The water is going to rise on this earth. And we're all going to be drowned, except I'm going to build an ark." These men would have laughed him to scorn if he voted out at the next election. Voted out. Something had gone wrong. They would have laughed him to scorn, you know what? Because such a thing had never happened before. It wasn't according to science. There was nothing scientific about this. How could water rise and cover the whole earth? Fellow argued with me once before. Of course he was stupid, but he said, a few of us were talking that night, he said, "I don't believe the world's round." I said, "You don't? What shape do you think it is?" He says, "It must be flat." He says, "If it's round," he says, "the water would all run off it." And marvelous thinking. I said, "What's that you've got there?" And he had a big can of water, fresh water. I said, "If you were to turn that upside down, where would the water go?" He said, "It would all run out." I said, "No, it wouldn't." He said, "What do you mean? It's bound to run out." I said, "Let me see it." So I took it in my hand. I said, "Now just watch this." And I took it in, and I just turned it right round and round and round. And the water's still in it, man. It's still in it. I said, "Do you know the speed at which this old planet of ours is revolving on its axis? Don't you think the God who made it and caused it to turn every 24 hours and put it around the sun every year in orbit? Don't you think God can keep things where they ought to be?" See? The scientists would have told Noah and said, "Now look, Noah, this thing just cannot happen. It's not scientific and it's never happened before." Noah said, "I believe God." By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he believed what God said, and he moved accordingly. He prepared an ark. There was response from Noah. He responded to the warnings of God. My friend, I want to ask you very plainly right now, have you ever responded to the warning that God has given you in His Word? Have you? "He that believeth on the Son shall be saved, shall have life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Do you believe that? When God said it. Have you responded to that? Have you? You see, God gives His warning. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I've told you before I like the Welsh rendering of that verse. The literal translation from the Welsh would be this: escape ye cannot if you neglect so great salvation. I like that. There's no way of escape if one neglects God's salvation. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, godly reverence. If God says it, that's enough. It will come to pass. If God says there's going to be a flood, the waters are going to cover the earth, then all right. It'll happen. I believe God. His response was this: he built the ark, the unsinkable ship. God said unto Noah, build yourself an ark. Build it long, build it high, build it wide. On a certain day and hour I will send a mighty shower, and I want you and your family all inside. And Noah did it. It took him a long time, of course, but he went according to God's instructions. And he built that ark. I suppose he got a lot of criticism. But I don't suppose he had done any carpentry work before then, at least not much. He didn't know much about modern ideas. But he built the ark. According to God's plan and pattern, he pitched it within and without pitch. And after a time, the ark was ready. The warning had been given. Noah responded to the warning and built the ark. The last 7 days, Noah went in. But the door was still open. I wonder how many people had excursions to see the ark. I wonder how many walked around it, viewed it from the outside. I wonder how many criticized it and criticized the man and his wife and their family who were inside. I wonder how many went as far as the door and peeked in to see what it looked like. Then all of a sudden, on the 7th day, that door was bang shut from the inside, and Noah didn't shut it. It was God who shut the door. And when God shut the door, there were those who were inside and those who were outside, and the die was cast. The world was going on as usual until the day that Noah went into the ark. And the day came when the floods came. But it was too late. They may have hammered on the door and cried for Noah to open. Noah couldn't open. Shut. The warning sound had been heard. Warned of God. You know, there used to be a quaint old preacher away down in the southwest of England. He was one of those circuit men, you know, with the old Methodists. Roland Hill. He used to tell the story about Roland Hill. He told it himself. He used to criticize him for shouting too loud when he was preaching. He always shouted loud enough for everybody to hear him. He says, but you know why I shout loud? He says, one day I was out walking along such and such a road, and he says, I could look down from where the road I was on, and I saw a whole crowd of men working down there in a sand quarry. And as I stood there at the fence watching, he says, all of a sudden I looked along and I noticed a crack in the surface up on the level. I knew what that meant. Very soon there would be a huge landslide and tons of that sand would go down into the quarry. No time to lose, he says, I just cupped my hands. And I shouted as loud as I could to warn these men. He says, I shouted so loud they told me they heard me a mile away. And nobody ever said I was wrong. I shouted loud enough to let those men hear and warn them about coming danger. And he said, they heard me and they ran. Just as they got out of reach, he said, those tons of sand down. If he hadn't shouted and warned those men, they would all have been covered up under that sandslide. Do you blame Roland Hill for shouting loud and warning these men? He saw the danger coming. Now God knew the danger was coming. He told Noah, and I'm sure Noah preached for over 100 years and preached righteousness to the men and warned them of coming judgment. But they wouldn't listen. Warnings unheeded. I suppose you've read about that great ship called the Titanic. A masterpiece of shipbuilding in its day. No ship had ever been built like it before. It was built in the shipyards of Belfast for the Cunard Line. It sailed on its maiden voyage one day in April 1912. It left Southampton with the blaze of the band and the cheers of the people, the greatest ship that had ever sailed from Southampton, headed for New York. The story is told of an old woman who was going on there, and she said to one of the crew, she says, they tell me this is an unsinkable ship. Yes, ma'am. Says even God himself couldn't sink this ship. Oh. I think it weighed over 52,000 tons. Huge ship. It's not the biggest that's been built. The Queen Mary and the Queen Elizabeth were bigger. And so was the US, America, I think it was too. But, and in its day it was the biggest ship. It was a feat of shipbuilding. And it sailed across the Atlantic until that dreadful day, that dreadful night, just about midnight, when it struck the iceberg in the cold waters of the North Atlantic. But they had been warned. The warning was sent out from another ship that they had sighted icebergs coming in the very course where that ship was sailing. The captain of the ship received the message, said, thanks. We're just driving on. It was an unsinkable ship, but it sank. And 1,600 people went down into the chilly waves of the North Atlantic because one man failed to heed the warning till it was too late. Had he taken the warning at the time, he could have turned the vessel and steered it in another direction. But no, it was man's great masterpiece. It was so built, it couldn't sink. And God sent a little bit of frozen water down and struck it side on. It wasn't long till it went down. And some of the people who went down with it could have been saved. But they said, it's unsinkable. We know an iceberg could struck it, but it's all right. It can't sink. And they're standing there on the decks while the lifeboats had to pull away. They wouldn't come in. Now remember, on that ship there were rich men and there were scientific men, all bound to have that first voyage, the great Titanic. But whether they were rich or wise made no difference. With the poor, they went down. all because they failed to heed the warning. They trusted in man's ingenuity, and it failed them. It was a sinkable ship. But the ark that was built by Noah was unsinkable, because it was according to God's pattern. My friend, look. How do you expect to reach God's heaven? Do you expect to get an entrance into God's heaven by man-made ideas? By your own self-righteousness? Or by what you've contributed to charities? Do you? Or are you prepared to take God's ship, the gospel ship? Are you prepared to take God's ark, the Lord Jesus Christ? He's never lost one yet, and he never will. All that cometh to me, I will receive. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they'll never perish. None shall pluck them out of my hand. My Father is greater than all, and none shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. In Christ forever, yea, forever is the word. Nothing can the ransom sever, not divide them from the Lord. Friend, if you have received Christ as your Savior, then God has received you in Christ. And you cannot perish. You'll sail triumphantly right into the pearly gates, into the presence of God. A glorious entrance. But if you're trying your own good works and your own knowledge of things, you'll go down like the Titanic and perish. What's it to be? Will you take God's unsinkable ship? Will you take God's offer of salvation in Christ? Or will you spurn the warning? There's judgment coming, you know. God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The judgment day is coming. How do you hope to stand in the presence of God? If you are rejecting Christ and you die a Christ rejecter, then God will reject you. There will be no place for you up there. If you receive Christ, no matter who you are, if you receive Christ, then God receives you in Christ, safe and secure from all harm. What's it going to be with you this morning, my friend? Is this going to be the day? Will this be God's final call to you? Will you trust the Savior? After this meeting's finished, I'll be down here. If you'd like to discuss these things, come and see us. We're glad to help you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we commit to thee now every soul bowed before thee. Oh God, we think of the eternal verities. Men playing fast and loose on the brink of a lost eternity who need to be warned. Oh God, grant that the warning signal shall be heard today, that someone in true heart repentance will turn to thee and trust the Savior. Hear us in these things for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's sing two verses of a hymn in closing.